Blog Talk Radio.
Former Blackhawk, local guy, and the current color analyst for the Blackhawks on television, it is Eddie Olczyk.
The guy's an asshole. Dead air moments. Paid out the rectum.
Well, first of all, we're very, very happy with Dennis Savard as our head coach. He's growing.
What the fuck does that mean?
He's fat!
I don't know how long you guys got, but I'll sit here till 4 in the morning and explain to you why James Wisniewski sucks.
You're never surprised by anything.
And we're off to a roaring start. The switchboard is down. God damn that McAfee. Do I have to go off on something else this week? McAfee has shut the whole system down here.
That's great.
All right, here we go. Everything's back. Nothing's back now. All right, never mind. Welcome to another stellar edition of the Third Man in Radio in this Tuesday night on time. 8:02 in Chicago. It is Tuesday, October 14th, 2009, and it's a special edition of the Third Man in Radio because we have the twosome over at HockeyNight.com, the forklift, and as I called him last week, the CT, on the line with us. How you doing, gentlemen?
Excellent.
Hi, Sock. So, we were actually talking last week. We kind of like the whole CT and the forklift thing just because it sounds like a sitcom that would star Larry Storch. we're big fans of the Larry Storch. So
there you go.
Yeah. So, but thanks for having us.
Yeah. No problem. Okay, the switchboard's back, so let me give you a little bit of theme music.
Hello out there. We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight.
There you go. We appreciate that.
I danced.
You can't help
you couldn't
yourself,
see it. I couldn't. I actually just got a really boss pair of two-tone wingtip dance shoes today, so I'm all set.
Maybe a little bit later we should talk about your dancing.
Sure.
You could be like I've often wondered like you could be like the next internet sensation, the forklift.
There you go. Hey, look,
I see you in these videos, and I'm quite jealous. Actually, I can't dance at all. I go to weddings and I do dance, but I have to get really juiced up before I do. You know, get a lot of liquid in me. And then I go out there and I basically just make an ass of myself and everybody laughs and has a good time. But that's why I'm there. I mean, I don't think I'd be invited if I didn't do that. So I have to live up to this, you know, this reputation that I have. But I think in my next, you know, tier of lifetime now, I think that I really do want to learn how to dance. You're a man that I look up to, Fork.
Well, not really, because I'm only 5'10". You're like 6'2".
You got to keep going.
I would say this is a night of admissions that Chris Black just admitted how terrible his life actually must be.
I know, really. Jesus. Full disclosure here, I'm a pretty shitty ideal for anybody. but I guess I can dance a little. For all the fucking dough I've dropped on dance lessons, I better be able to.
There's a dance studio right down the street from my house, and... And I go by like at 10:30 at night, and you'll see like the guy and the girl in there. And what I don't, I think I would take dance lessons, but the problem is, like you, like because this is what I know. I mean, this is, I drive past this place all the time, and they've got the windows wide open. You know, mm-hmm. not the, I mean, the curtains are pulled, and you look, anybody going past can look at you and see you stumbling around and messing things up, and you look like a dope. And I, that's like my fear in life. I just don't like looking like a dope. I know that I do. I know sometimes it's unavoidable, but that's like a situation you can avoid.
Yeah, well, you see, I look like a dope just walking down the street, so for me there was not really that fear of loss going in.
I'm willing to take lessons. I just need it to be, you know, behind curtains.
In somebody's basement, yeah.
Yes, in a room with no windows or doors.
Well, the one thing I always tell people is you should just go, when they have summer dance down in Grant Park, you should do something like that because you can't lose. Because, first of all, there's always more women than men at those things. So, guys, I mean, anybody can make out okay in that situation. When they have the summer dance.
I'm gonna put it in my phone right now. What's the date on this thing? Do you know?
What, the summer dance thing?
Yeah, I mean, I assume they have it summer.
Yeah, well, they have it all summer long. The city of Chicago actually puts up a website for it. And it's free dance.
It's like a weekly thing.
Actually, they have it damn near every night during the summertime down in Grant Park. And there's always more women than men. And what's nice is if you know how to dance, then it's impressive to all the women. And if you don't know how to dance, they think it's endearing. So either way, you'd make out fine. Absolutely. T-dubs could get laid down there. Anybody could. It's amazing. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. And, you know, this is what I always tell guys. Like, look, you know, you can't go wrong. Because, you know, it's all part of a mating ritual, I guess. But yeah, I mean, that's as good a place as any to start. Because also that way you don't drop any cash. So you can find out real early on whether or not it's something you want to really pursue. Or if it's just something that, you know, you might say, hey, that's kind of cool. And before you wind up dropping a big chunk of change on a package of dance lessons. So,
you did just mention something, and I have to get to this because I'm sure we're 8 minutes into the show now, and I'm sure the audience is wondering this. But let's just go ahead and play this.
Let me hear you say absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, unfortunately, to all the people listening here live and on the archives, wherever you're listening tomorrow, whenever you do. Superstar is not with us tonight, but once again, the guy pre-recorded his comments and his contributions to the show, and he will be here, and I think this was a big hit. I mean, this was a big hit before, and I think it's going to work out again tonight. What do you think about that, Superstar? Superstar?
I'm thinking what the last hit's in.
That's awesome.
So easy.
Yeah, actually, I
gotta
Superstar...
say I'm a little disappointed because I thought we were finally going to get to see what he looks like.
Yeah, I know.
You know, we spent a good amount of our podcast wondering. So.
Yeah, we did. At one point, and somebody was tweeting me telling me that, oh, he's bigger than Sharp. So, for what that's worth. but yeah, we'll get to see him at some point. And yeah, Block, were you at the game Saturday night? Because CT and I actually went over looking for you.
After the second period?
Yeah.
I made the rounds. So
okay.
I had to walk to the other side and meet up with some people and after the first period you could always find me there. Second period, you know, that's catchy whether you get me or not. But first period I'm always there.
All right. So, all you listeners know.
Fork, I knew we should have sent those guys in front of us. Out looking for him, you know, on the snipe hunt, basically. The entire row in front of us was occupied by a bachelor party that consisted of the cast of next season's Tool Academy.
Yeah. We had maximum broverload going on.
we were going to send him down to Ironworks and just tell him, you know, just go down there. You're acting like idiots anyway, and just shout for Chris Block. And when you finally find him, ask him about the song. But
oh man, those guys. There were like three people about five rows down wearing Avalanche jerseys, and all these guys were doing was like, "You guys suck! Avalanche sucks dick!" I was like, you know, if you're going to heckle, man, put a little elbow grease into it. If that's all you got, you might as well just be quiet. But yeah, it was...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it was getting... They were getting pretty souped up. Thank God the Avalanche didn't score any goals in the third period, or I think at that point, Section 314 would have just been a damn Wild West show.
Well, it got pretty ugly there for a little while last night at the United Center.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the first 12 minutes of the hockey game, pretty surreal. But, how embarrassing of a loss is it for the Calgary Flames? I mean, you got to give credit to the Blackhawks for coming back, working hard, and getting themselves back into the game. But how embarrassing is that to have a 5-0 lead a little bit more than halfway through the first period, and you blow it. It's just a horrible, horrible loss. I put more stake in it into what Calgary didn't do to win that game than what the Blackhawks did do.
Calgary was – they almost went into a prevent defense, which didn't really work for them. And by the end of the third period, they were just playing to salvage a tie. They were not trying to win that hockey game. They were trying to just put a Band-Aid on it at that point.
It's a sad thing when you can look at the way that game went and say, well, we had a 5-0 lead, but we were happy to get a single point out of it. I mean, because at the end, I mean, that's what they had to say to themselves.
And especially when you take into account that after the playoffs last year, they still believed they were a better team than the Blackhawks. They came into the United Center. They were healthy. They had Jay Bouwmeester, who they didn't have last year. They had addition by subtraction in the fact that Vandermeer and Aucoin are now wearing Phoenix sweaters. And they came in, and in pretty much 49 minutes, the Blackhawks beat them 6-0 and completely dominated the game. There was no part of the game the Blackhawks did not dominate.
It was pretty sloppy, though. I mean, it was, that's how Calgary got up 5-0. I mean, it wasn't necessarily because of anything that they were doing. It was just because of how bad the Hawks were in their own end.
Well, actually, last night's game is going to be very helpful because it's going to save the NHL an awful lot of money. Because every team that wants to scout the Blackhawks can now just watch last night's game, and the first 12 minutes shows you exactly how bad the Blackhawks could be at their absolute worst. And then you get to see how they can be at their absolute best.
Yeah, although the problem is, if all those teams have DirecTV, they can't see the game.
Yeah, they got to call their friends with DVD burners on their TiVos.
I know, that was the thing with last night. Like, you know, I'm at all the games, but I also go home. I feel it necessary that I go home and watch the actual broadcast. So sometimes it does. You know, if I miss something, it's like, I'll catch it later. You know, if I'm talking to somebody or. Whatever, but yeah, it hit me like midway through the game last night. Like, I got to start paying more attention because like I got DirecTV, I got fucking no Versus, so hopefully they get that settled too because it's driving me crazy.
Yeah, and it's ironic because after all the years of the league begging and pleading with Bill Wirtz to relent and broadcast home games. Rocky finally broadcasts home games, and now the league is stopping Blackhawk games from being broadcast.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. We talked about it on our show last week, and the mix-up that I had, thinking that the game was on Versus, the one in Finland, when in fact it was scheduled. I mean, it was on Versus. It's just that, I guess, the Chicago market, because of the DirecTV situation, like, I guess it was available on Comcast. That was somebody emailed me and was telling me this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. You know, so, like, you know, I mean, it's like one of those things where, you remember back, I mean, I'm not that old, but I remember,
I
you know, when games, like, remember when NFL games used to be on ESPN? And, like, because not everybody had cable, that particular night, ABC would get the game or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Why
they still occasionally do that for the NFL Network games.
Really? Yeah. So why don't they? Why can't hockey do something simpler? You know, it's similar. It's like It's the home market. It's the biggest market, you know, one of the biggest markets, two, three biggest markets in the U.S. for hockey. Probably the second biggest market for hockey right now in the U.S. And
well, you can make the argument in the U.S. is the biggest market for a single team.
You can make that argument. But
I will.
Okay. You know, just to me, it's like, I mean, there's a lot of people that they couldn't watch that game last night, and that's criminal. But I mean, that's what you expect from this league. So,
Gary Bettman does have that Midas touch, boy. Everything turns to shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is in you know, other than him putting the actual games on versus, you know, that the dispute is not his fault. I'll defend him.
Yeah, but the whole thing is that DirecTV can push versus around. If those games were on ESPN, you could bet your sweet ass there's no way DirecTV would ever black out ESPN.
Versus is owned by Comcast. It's not like, you know, they're mom and pop running the store there. I mean,
oh, I know.
Comcast got a little pull.
Yeah.
I don't blame Gary Bettman for putting the games on versus. Versus was the only network willing to pony up a little bit of money. At the end of the day, I mean, Bettman's got to get money for his league. So I don't have any my problem with Versus not doing more with what they had. I mean, they had this. They put this investment into the NHL, and they're not doing anything with it. I mean, basically, all they do is air the games. They've never had a good pregame. They've never had a good postgame. They've failed to develop for people that remember, you know, when the games were on ESPN, like an NHL Tonight program. If you have NHL Network, you have no need for it because NHL on the Fly is spectacular. But not everybody has the NHL Network. So and the people that do, I mean, most of them just got it now. You know, so like they've been on Versus for 4 or 5 years now. Like why can't, or OLN and whatever it was before, like why can't they develop this kind of show? You know, it's like appointment television. If you're a hockey fan, you go to there's only hockey on Mondays and Tuesdays on Versus. But if you're a hockey fan, you're going to Versus Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at 10 o'clock because you get to watch all the highlights from all the games. Does that not make sense? I mean,
oh, it absolutely
perfect
does.
Sense to me.
Yeah,
like, why isn't the NHL pushing this on them? Why aren't they being like, hey, you know, you're supposed to be our broadcast partner. I mean, help us out. I mean, we have a relationship here. Let's work together. You know, and that's my problem. I mean, just the way the production is on Versus, how, you know, when they're going to a break, nothing's stopping them from going to a break. It's horribly produced.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a fight could break out just as they cue the music. It doesn't matter. They're going to break. I mean, it's really frustrating to watch games on that. NHL shares in the blame in that, but it's Versus. They're just a horrible network.
And Versus is hiring producers who obviously don't have a handle on hockey, which is why they'll go to breaks when something could happen. You know, whereas for any other sport, you get people who have an understanding of the game, and they'll know, okay, this is not the time to go to a break. There's more defined breaks in other sports. You know, hockey, you know, could go 8 minutes without an interruption, at which point, you know, people have bought ad time.
Which is probably why Versus goes to break come hell or high water, because they don't know if they're going to get, are we going to get every commercial in?
Yeah, and that is true, and so they have to make sure they get all their buys taken care of. So I guess that is something. Although, you know, again, going back to my beef with Bettman still goes back to, I can still go back to the end of the 94 season going into the 94-95 season, which wound up just being a 95 season where Bettman led a labor dispute, shut down the league for half a season when he had inked a contract with Fox. ESPN was already on board, and you had the Stanley Cup champion playing in New York City. I mean, everything was there for hockey to just explode, and Bettman and basketball was locked out too. He had the perfect storm, and he let it all go. You know, he should have said to the players and the players' union and to the owners, said, look, you know, we all have an opportunity here to make an awful lot of money. Whatever our differences are, we need to at least get working on them and not have play stop because there's too much money at stake for everybody. Everybody can win in this. And, you know, he never did that.
And to boot, I mean, it was a horrible thing for the NHL because they didn't get everything they wanted.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to have a lockout,
horrible,
win.
It was a horrible lockout. You know, and they caved into, you know, pressure, you know, which is why when they just did this last one, all the owners knew and everybody had, you know, long-term planning and fair warning, we're getting what we want at all costs. And they did. They lost the whole season. But that was to make up for the horrible mistake that they made, you know, 9 years prior.
Yeah, and, you know, what did they really gain? Because their whole thing was they wanted to keep the bottom line down. And teams like the Blackhawks, like the Red Wings, like the Flyers, like the Canucks have been completely circumventing the CBA with these front-loaded contracts. And, you know, I'm still of the belief that, you know, Kane and Taves are going to wind up signing some sort of a contract that's going to be shady as all hell. But
I don't think they can.
The,
I really don't. I don't see how you can, because the one thing that's going to come out of this next collective bargaining agreement, the one thing that the owners and the NHL, I mean, this is why there was these phony investigations into the Hossa contract, the Pronger contract. It's not because anything was going to come of it. The NHL, it would never hold up in court. The deal came across the NHL's desk.
Right.
They approved it, and it went on. I mean, there's nothing. It's basically the NHL and Gary Bettman taking a stand and making it known, like, hey, yeah, you got us. You found the loophole. Good for you. But we don't like these contracts. Be warned that when we do the new CBA, this is coming out. Like, and the way that it's coming out, and every GM's got to know this now, and Stan Bowman's got to be prepared for it. The number that's going to count against the cap is the yearly salary, and that's the way it's going to be, because it's the only way that you can prevent it. It's obvious that they hate these contracts. It fits in on, you know, the way the collective bargaining agreement goes. But what's the next step in this? You know, you have Chris Chelios playing the NHL till he's 47. What's stopping the Blackhawks from giving Jonathan Toews a contract till he's 47? And then have last 7 years at $500,000.
Oh, there's nothing stopping it. And what's stopping them from giving, you know, the incentive to Taves would be give them a Hossa-style contract with an opt-out after 8 years.
Yeah. The only way that you stop these kind of things, and, you know, and the Taves, you know, that scenario is, you know, a little bit, of, you know, out there, excessive, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, when these guys,
right.
they come to the, you know, they're 30, 31, and then they get 15, you know, 12 year deals. I mean, you know that the odds are they're not going to do that, and it is unfair to certain markets who maybe aren't as lucrative, you know, to go to. Like, you know, we're talking about places like Nashville, Atlanta.
Right.
Like, say these franchises are they're willing to spend the money. They want that player, and they could spend the most money because obviously they have the room under the cap, but they're not even in contention because, of course, players want to go to the best cities. They want to go to the best teams. They want to, you know, they want to be the small fish in the big pond. Or I don't even know if that makes sense, but you know what I'm saying. They want to be with,
right,
you know, the best organization, the best chance to win, and these other organizations that Gary Bettman's got, he's got to protect. He's got to stick up for these people too. They're out of the picture, and you can't have that. That is unfair. So I mean, that's what's going to happen. So for people that think that, oh, you know, Taves and Kane are going to get the Hossa contract and it'll be great. No, it won't. Because that contract, just like Hossa's deal, when that new CBA comes around, Hossa's number is 7.9, and you got to be ready for it. And the Hawks have to plan for it because it's just around the corner. And that's,
well,
like another thing when you're talking about, like, what's gonna happen with this team and who can they keep and I mean, how are they gonna do this? Well, they've also got to prepare for a new CBA that's gonna have that. You know, that new, you know, salary clause, like I just said, and you already can't afford it, you know, the guys that you have. So it's like, I mean, not only, I mean, it's win now, but it's like, and how many of these guys can you keep? But it's also, I mean, you've got to prepare for what Hossa's going to mean. What, you know, I mean, Campbell's not affected, but what are all these guys going to mean, and what are you going to look like 3 years from now? Because that's important too, because, you know, especially to John McDonough, because John McDonough, you know, he can't build this thing up and then watch it all just, you know, hit the floor 2 years down the road, because the people will just go away. Because everybody he has now are bandwagon jumpers and people that have been gone forever and have been drawn back. And if this thing does go off a cliff in a year or two, they're going to be gone again. And everything that they've done to rebuild the franchise will be lost. So they have to be careful, and they have to plan 3 years ahead, no matter what anybody
says. The easiest way to circumvent the cap situation that you're describing in the next CBA is between Cann and Toews, you front load one, you back load the other, and just have, you know, have some median point where they meet.
Assuming they'll, I mean, you're making a big assumption that the guys will take the contract that, you know, everyone will be hunky dory and happy and in love with Chicago still then too. I mean,
right.
A lot
could
change in a year. We've seen it. You know.
Oh yeah, but the one thing you have to keep in mind with Cann and Toews especially is Cann and Toews have the same representation, so they can negotiate in tandem.
Yeah, but you know, at the same time, it's easy to say, and it does sound great, you know, to a Blackhawks fan's ears that okay, you know, that's how we get it in, but that's not really how, you know, the agents are trying to get the, you know, all the money for their client like now, you know, so
absolutely. But I'm channeling superstar here, but
that's awesome.
But the fact of the matter is when you're looking at somebody like Patrick Kane, you know, he's on the cover of NHL 10. The money he makes from the Blackhawks is not all the money he makes. There's money to be made in other areas, and so where can he make the most endorsement money? And, you know, if he goes to a place like New York, he's another face in the crowd. I don't know that he can get the same sort of endorsement deals he can get here in Chicago.
Chicago's the best place in the world, I think, for an athlete to be, because there isn't that pressure of New York. The fans will coddle you if you work hard and you just pretend to be or portray a decent guy. People will love you. They will cherish you. I mean, look at Kyle Orton. I mean, people are still, you know, just pining for Kyle Orton. You know, I mean, just stupid people.
Hey, he's undefeated.
Yeah.
It's the neck beard. Although I don't think he has a neck beard this year. I was watching that Dallas-Denver game, he was not rocking a neck beard. He just had a regular human being beard.
So. Yeah, but I mean, you know, Patrick Kane. There's no better place in hockey for him to be. It's a first class city. You know, anything that you want is here. Endorsement possibilities are endless for sports athletes that hit it big and are recognizable. He'll have all of that plus. Again, if he just works hard and he's one of the best players on the team, people will love him almost unconditionally, and they already do. So it's like, I mean, why, if you're his agent, I know that there's people that think he's going to split for Buffalo, but when his agent's got to be telling him, listen, that's like the dumbest thing that you could do, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's great to think and you know, you know, think about yourself playing in your hometown and realizing, you know, all the dreams that you had as a kid when you're growing up, playing in the backyard, down the street at the outdoor rink. It's great to think all those things, but the money is in Chicago, the fame is in Chicago, and the relevance to what you are in the league, what your legacy will be, it's here in Chicago now. Buffalo, it's done with. It's beyond you.
All he would have to do is have a 5-minute telephone conversation with Pat LaFontaine and ask LaFontaine how many endorsements he got while he was playing for the Sabres.
Pat LaFontaine the Blackhawks would be doing heritage nights for LaFontaine every single year if he played his career in the Blackhawks.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, it just makes absolutely no sense for him, and obviously, Toews will be here as long as he's healthy. It makes no sense for either of those kids to think about going anywhere else because it's just dumb. I mean, you can go to New York, but I mean, you get lost in the shuffle in New York.
Yeah, and this is why I think that, you know, Kane and Taze having that representation, the combined representation, I think that, you know, they both probably have an understanding at this point that, you know, there's really no place better for them to play their hockey than in Chicago. You know, the only other place I could possibly see somebody like Jonathan Toews landing is if he had a shot at being captain of the Canadiens. That's about it. If Jonathan Toews were captain of the Canadiens, he'd be on Canadian money within 10 years. But, well, he would.
Speak a little French. The back of the league.
Well, that's the thing. You know, he's unbelievably talented. He's a fiery competitor.
I'm on Canadian money, actually. That shit's put together by children.
Children in your sweatshop. You have a sweatshop that prints money?
I'm not at liberty to say. The exchange rate is up to 97 cents. So they're almost there.
Well, they were actually over us at one point, weren't they?
Yeah, that was a while back, but yeah, they've been struggling, but they're back up there now. It's almost equal, which is great news for the NHL if it can get there.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, you know, there's too many struggling Southern franchises. At some point, Bettman is going to have to, you know, he's going to have to grit his teeth and get his prostate checked by Jim Balsillie, because at some point, there's got to be a franchise that Bettman can't keep Balsillie from buying and moving. You know,
is Rush Limbaugh going to buy into the St. Louis Blues?
Well, he'd have to fire all the left wingers.
I don't know. He's clearly buddies with that guy. I mean, that's the guy he was going to buy into the Rams with. And while I'm not a fan of Rush Limbaugh's, it'd be nice if there was an NHL owner with, you know, some fucking income that they could like recognize, as opposed to non men who are. The guy in Nashville who got the loan from the Kings owner by faking his income statements and faxing other people's balance sheet.
Well, I actually think the Thrashers are going to get bought by Len Dykstra.
The guy I'd like to see, just for my own personal bemusement, is Mark Cuban. Like if he were to buy, like he would want to buy Dallas, of course. But
yeah.
I mean, just he's a douche, but like I get a kick out of him, and I think that I mean he's wasting enough of his money on HD Net. Like, why don't just throw some more at the NHL or get rid of HD?
Oh, yeah.
Personally, I wouldn't want him to get rid of HD Net. I love it, but I mean, buy a hockey team. I mean, he'd be a great owner to have.
Oh yeah,
because he's out there, he's recognizable. I think that's important too. Like. The face of your franchise is also, you know, whether, you know, it's your owner, the president or whatever. I think that's important, too. If the guy has charisma, he's interesting to look at, to hear. I think that adds, you know, to the viewer, you know, the viewer's experience just watching games. Like, who was that guy who owned the Flyer, or not the Sixers? He was the bald guy.
Pat, what the hell is his name? I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but whoever he is, like, I mean, he was interesting, and he was always there. He's kind of annoying, but, you know, I mean, it added to it. I like people who have character, who are interesting to look at, even if they don't like, you don't like them or you disagree with what they say. It's interesting, and that I like that. I enjoy that, and guys, you know, just. I mean, that's why Balsillie would be great, because he would be all over the place and it would be annoying, but it's something you would talk about. And that's what the NHL misses the boat on all the time. And fans don't understand this. It's great to have someone like Sean Avery in the league, because you talk about him. People that don't watch hockey talk about Sean Avery. And, yeah, I mean, he makes an ass of himself. Sometimes he'll embarrass himself, his teammates, maybe even the league. And it, you know, yeah, you want him to curtail that, you know, the back end of that a little bit, but people are talking about him. It's interesting. Hockey players are not interesting. Jonathan Toews is a great hockey player. He's going to be awesome for the Blackhawks for many, many years, but he's uninteresting. I don't want to hear him speak. I don't even want to look at him. He's uninteresting. Give me people who are interesting, and I think that more people will turn on the television if you have interesting characters.
Oh, I absolutely agree. When after the Rangers won the Cup in 94, and I always go back to that because, you know, I was living in New York at the time, and that was my perspective. You know, Messier was the swinging dick in New York City. I mean, you know, any other sports team in town, there was nobody who was a bigger star than Mark Messier. And, you know, he was the guy showing up. He was with, what's her name, Frederic Vanderwall, the Victoria's Secret model. I mean, come on, a hockey player with a Victoria's Secret model? You can't ask for better than that. I mean, he was everywhere, and he was one of these guys. He'd walk into a Letterman taping, and everybody knew exactly who he was. There was no secrets about it. And, yeah, there's no one like that now. I mean, there's a couple of guys. I mean, probably the most charismatic guy in the NHL right now is Ovechkin. And,
yeah.
You know.
Exactly. And there's no more exciting player to watch. I mean, it's, as far as just turning on a television, watching a game, and it being fun. I mean,
yeah.
He's the guy.
Well, he's a blast. And you can't not watch him, and you can't not see how much fun he's having on the ice. And you would think the league would just push him out in front of everything. But for whatever reason, you know, Bettman's got all his chips down on Sidney Crosby. And, you know, Crosby, talented hockey player, you know, charismatic enough, but, you know, he's no Ovechkin. Ovechkin doesn't take center stage. Ovechkin is center stage.
I don't think Crosby has any charisma whatsoever. And he may have charisma, but he's stuck in that mold that you know, they've been trying to you know, lay him into since he was 15 years old, when they knew that he was going to be the first, you know, overall pick. He was coached, like, this is how you interview, this is how you act, this is how you walk, this is how you carry yourself, this is, you know, the faces that you make at public, you know, public appearances. He can't be himself. Whatever Sidney Crosby really is, and he's probably an extension of who he is, what you see in front of the camera. But he's so, you know, it's so, like, ingrained into him that he's the face of the league, and that he's, you know, he's got to, you know, carry himself a certain way, just like with Gretzky, that you don't get anything from him. He speaks, and when he's done, it's like, well, what did he say? And that's, like, the worst thing that you could have in a professional athlete that's supposed to be the flag bearer for your league. He speaks, and it's like, well, what did he say? It's unmemorable. To whereas Ovechkin, he speaks good enough English with the accent that it's almost endearing. It is endearing, like, just to listen to him speak. And you're right. He should be all over the place, and, I mean, it's a huge mistake. Sidney Crosby should be, and he is, one of, if not the best player in the league. When he's on and when he's playing, he plays both ends of the ice. He's fantastic. He's just not over-the-top spectacular the way that sometimes Malkin is, and, of course, how Ovechkin is. But, you know, I mean, his game just isn't that way. He's not out there trying to put on a show like Ovechkin. You know, he's more of he really is, and Crosby doesn't get credit for this, but he really is more of a mucker and a grinder than either of those other two guys, Malkin or Crosby, or Malkin or Ovechkin.
He's hard. Yeah, he's talented, but, yeah, you don't get a whole lot of holy shit, did you see that moments out of Sidney Crosby.
No. And that's why he, you know, people kind of take shots at him, you know, as far as him being the best, you know, in the game. And I think it's, you know, it's semantics. I mean, all three of those guys are amazing, amazing players that anybody would want, you know, front and center on their team. But, yeah, I mean, the most fun guy to watch is without a doubt Ovechkin. The most complete player and most, how you say, whatever. I mean, is Malkin when he's interested. And then I'd say Crosby is just, I mean, he's smooth as silk, but he's not as fun to watch as the other guys because he's not dramatic. I mean, he's dramatic in sometimes the way he tries to get calls, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, I think night in and night out, I would actually say that Datsyuk is a better two-way player than Malkin, night in and night out.
Of course,
Yeah. But, but I know what you're saying when Malkin's locked in. But I will tell you something else. Is from what I saw in the preseason, what we've seen so far this year, I think I don't think Kane's ready to make his move into the top five in the NHL, but I think he's certainly ready to at least enter into the outskirts. He's, he's looking a lot stronger on his skates, and, there's definitely been a change in his offensive game this year, and he's actually...
He's
shooting the puck a lot more than he ever did, and I've noticed a couple of times he's actually created some scoring chances off a back check, which, you know, for Patrick Kane, that's damn near Selke worthy.
So. Yeah, I was thinking about this last night watching the game, sitting there, and because I remember in the playoffs last year, he did shoot a lot in the playoffs, but he was missing. He was missing a lot, and you could see the expression on his face. You know, at times it was sort of feeling sorry for himself, but most of the time it was anger. And I wonder if in the offseason that was the thing that he worked on the most was his shot, because his shot, he definitely has more confidence in it. It's more near the mark this year so far.
Yeah, you'd see glimpses here and there. I mean, the last game of last season, he put that backhander past Osgood. I mean, he put that into a teacup. And you could see where he could become that sniper. That's the thing with Taves, where Taves just can so perfectly thread the needle when he's locked in. I mean, he's not there yet, but you saw the second half of last year.
The other thing is a couple of things I noticed, especially last night. He had a few shifts where I thought for a second in the offensive zone I was watching Martin Havlat, because he was just like gliding around. No one could get near him. And usually when Kane does that, you think he's just looking for the pass, but then he'd shoot. And if he's gonna, if that's gonna be an option, then teams are in big trouble against Patrick Kane, because if he can, he can pass on a dime, but if he's gonna start shooting from that, while doing that, then they don't know what the hell to do.
Yeah, and it's definitely gonna. What's gonna happen is the defense is gonna start to collapse on Kane more, which is gonna leave an awful lot of Blackhawks very open.
Yeah, I mean, he's an intelligent hockey player, so I'm sure that's, between him and the coaches, that's the intent there. It's like, hey, you do have a really great shot. He's got a terrific release. It's just about getting it to where he wants it to go. And, once he gets that line, he's so talented, he's going to get there. I mean, going to be
and
a sniper.
He really sees the rink well.
Yeah.
So... even when he is skating around, he knows where everybody is, and he knows what, you could just see, like last night, there were a couple of times where he was just ragging the puck around the Flames, and you could see he was just kind of looking around to see what all the options were before he made his decision. And, that when you have that kind of skating ability, and, he's stronger on his skates this year, he looks like he's definitely going to be a better puck handler this year, and... if he's looking around the ice like that, he's going to generate an awful lot of offense. And, I'm still, I'm in the camp of people who don't worry about Taves. Taves will be fine. Taves is, he doesn't have any goals yet, but it's not that big a deal.
In spurts last night, he was awful. And so was Duncan Keith. Of the Blackhawks last night, those two in particular had rough first periods. I mean, a lot of people did, but it stands out when your best players aren't your best players, and especially Keith, that's been the case more often than not so far this year. So he's got to pick it up. And
In the Colorado game, CT and I both were noticing just Sharp was horrendous in that game. He was just brutal. I mean, I will say this. If I saw Joel Quenneville on the street tomorrow, I would, at my own risk, of course, I'd grab him by the throat and say, Joel, take him off the fucking point. Patrick Sharp's got no business being
ridiculous
on the goddamn point. But
he's another one. He loves that first power play unit with the forward on the point. I last year it was Boland, and it drove me insane. and he's got Sharp back there. He had Bufflin back there the other day.
Yeah, Bufflin is the only one that I could kind of see, only because he's a converted defenseman. He's got a big slapper. But Boland is a guy who's better down low. Sharp is a guy who's better, like, at the face-off circle. These are guys who, you know,
the other thing is by when they're putting Sharp at the point, and then they're putting, you know, that takes a defenseman off, and as the extra forward, then they're using Kopechki. Using a fourth liner to set screens on your power play.
Eurobrower. That's what we're calling him now.
That's excellent.
Hey, awful.
Hey, we knew what we were getting with Kopechki. Actually, the other night they had something where I don't know if the Hawks or somebody's raffling off the Marian Hossa experience. Is it the Sun-Times that's raffling off the Marian Hossa experience? And we figured
they can raffle off. They're probably raffling off like that.
Well, I figure if part of the Marian Hossa experience is Kopechki comes over and washes your car. You know, look, for whatever reason, these guys are BFFs, so the Hawks had to throw a couple million bucks at Kopechki for a couple years. But, he's, you know.
And because of it, you don't get your Jack Skilly experience.
Yeah, but since Eager apparently got his egg scrambled, we have the Jack Skilly, the daily tweet about Jack Skilly being assigned to Rockford or recalled to the Blackhawks. Because, now, let me ask you this, Block. You know the salary cap.
I got to say, this is right now, this is about all the Jack Skilly experience I can handle, so I'm okay with it.
I keep waiting for Al Secord to go out and punch his lights out and take his number 20 back. But anyway, so the Blackhawks are obviously, they're assigning Skilly to Rockford after every game, and then before the next game they recall him, and it's obvious that they're doing this for some sort to so that one day each time they do it, his salary doesn't count against the cap for that.
Exactly,
game.
Because they're back to an accrual now this year.
Right. Now, if that's the case, why don't they long-term IR Hossa and Burrish? Because at that point, don't they only pay half of each? Doesn't half of each salary count against the cap each day?
Well, no. It would come off. That's the thing. Like, Burrish is on long-term IR, isn't he?
No. If you go to the NHL website, neither of them are.
I don't think that's right, then.
I would say the same NHL website that couldn't spell Canadians correctly.
No, but if you, like, you go to the long-term injured reserve, and there's people on long-term injured reserve, but, yeah, Adam Burrish and Marian Hossa aren't. I don't know if maybe those documents are out there with the offer sheet somewhere. I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure that they both are. Yeah, the Blackhawks would be relieved of that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's saving every penny they can, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and it's obvious that that's what it is. I mean, it's not like Skilly's. Although maybe for giggles, they are making him drive back and forth to Rockford.
Well, he's one of those guys that does that. He doesn't live in Rockford when he plays there. He lives in Chicago and he makes a commute every day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they love Rockford so much they are willing to make the hour plus drive back and forth every day to practice in games.
I think most people in Rockford would if they could. So.
Yeah.
Live elsewhere.
And how long is the contract the Hawks have with the Ice Hogs?
Well, it's a 10-year affiliation agreement. So they're in year three.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, there's nothing that can happen. Because I would assume now that whatever hatchet seems to be buried between, the Blackhawks keep saying they're not in the revenge business anymore. I'd be fairly certain that as this contract nears its end, they'll probably look to make a deal with the Wolves and just have everything all nice and local, and it'll be a very symbiotic relationship.
Well, I mean, it could happen sooner than the 8 years down the line, because Rockford's having quite a bit of financial trouble right now. And, it'll be touch and go by the end of the year whether or not they'll be able to make their franchise payments. So, and just like last year, it was a minor story because the Blackhawks, it was kind of swept under the rug, but
right.
The Metro Center was like a month behind on their franchise payments.
Oh, yeah, there were a bunch of AHL teams that were really scrambling at the end of last year. And
yeah, I mean, we're talking about, you know, $250,000 checks that the Blackhawks, you know, didn't have in their hand that they were supposed to. And,
right.
You know, it's just like, okay, you know, pay us. But that's only going to last so long. And,
right.
Yeah, if something else comes up that's enticing to the Hawks, you know, Rockford's, it's not a bad place, you know, for them location-wise, but, you know, I mean, if for some reason Indianapolis gets back into the game, if Nashville gets out of Milwaukee, I mean, these are other places. The problem that I see with the Wolves, you know, potential relationship is the problem that any NHL franchise would have with the Wolves is the Wolves are in the business of winning.
Yeah.
And
right.
The problem, I mean, the Blackhawks want to put a good AHL team on the ice because the better it is, that means the better the prospects you have. But
right.
You also, there are guys, and this would be the case. Okay, let's take a look at at Rockford the last 2 years, and the number one guy that comes to mind is Evan Brophy. Evan Brophy, when he came out of London, and he reported to the Blackhawks and he played in the AHL. His first year, he was awful. I mean, his skills did not translate. He wasn't a great skater. He was a scorer in juniors, not a scorer in the AHL. Couldn't keep up. He was a poor skater, but he got a lot of ice time. Credit to him, he worked really, really hard, and now he's one of Rockford's better players. Okay, pretend for a second now that the Blackhawks have an affiliation with the Chicago Wolves. Well, Evan Brophy may not see the ice.
Right.
And I'm not saying that Evan Brophy's going to be in the Blackhawks next year. He's going to, you know, he's going to assume third-line duties after John Madden leaves. But, I mean, because of the ice time that he's gotten, and because of the special attention that he's been able to get, because there's no Steve Martins or, you know, whoever else that the Wolves bring in to give themselves, you know, a little bit of better chance of winning and going to the playoffs and you know, making a bunch of playoff rounds. Because that's not the case, Evan Brophy was able to transform from a scorer in juniors to now a pretty decent two-way player at the AHL level, and he keeps getting better. And that would be the concern with the Blackhawks is it sounds great. And, you know, just, I mean, to have them, you know, 5 minutes from you know, catching a plane and just down the street it would be great for everybody. But if it's the same ownership, the ownership wants to win. I mean, so it's a conflict of interest. The Blackhawks are looking to develop players and make sure that their prospects are taken care of the way they want them taken care of. The Blackhawks want control. I mean, this regime is all about control. You know, I mean, the Blackhawks run that. You know, they essentially run the Rockford IceHawks. I mean, you know, almost totally. I mean, the influence out there is unmistakable. So, I mean, will Don Levin, you know, and Buddy Myers, will they allow that, you know, to happen? Will they allow the Blackhawks to push them around and tell them what to do? And no, you can't sign Chris Chelios and Manny Legacy because we don't want them on the team, and it takes time away from our prospects, even if it means that, you know, this year we're going to be awful and your attendance is going to be bad. No, that's not going to work. So I just think that, yeah, it sounds like a great idea in theory, but the fact is that's a relationship bound for an ugly ending. So that's kind of what I think about that.
Okay. Well, you can also – the other side of that is the fact that Atlanta just doesn't supply the Wolves with very good players. You know, anybody who's worth half a damn winds up in Atlanta because Atlanta's so bad every year.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, that's – I mean, they're a team that's – you know, drafted in great places, and unfortunately they've traded some of their picks away, you know, trying to get into the playoffs and spark interest there in a market that's just not going to care anyway. But, yeah, I mean, you're right, but still, I mean, the point is, I mean, if the Blackhawks are going to be good, they're going to have some bad teams, you know, in the AHL eventually.
Actually, if the Thrashers stay in Atlanta, one of the more interesting things to watch will be the marketing of Evander Kane. Because all of a sudden you've got a black player who's got a chance of being a really good NHL player. playing in Atlanta, where there's this huge black population, and you know, all of a sudden you can take a stab at it. How successful it'll be remains to be seen. But you can at least take the stab at marketing hockey at a market that has never really been targeted before, other than in terms of, you know, apparel sale and things like that. I mean, you know, they do have the Hockey's for Everyone program, but you know, there's, you know, Jerome Iginla is the only face that they can really put on that of a superstar in the NHL, and he plays in Calgary. You know, this is somebody in Atlanta. So the marketing that they can do with Evander Kane could be very interesting. Anyway,
I don't think they should back away from it either. I don't think they should be shy about it at all. And it doesn't have to be, you know, and I think Evander Kane is going to be a good player as well. I don't think it has to be, look at Evander Kane, he's black and he plays hockey, and, you know, this is the NHL. You just get him out there, you know, and it's the subliminal.
Yeah, you don't have to tell people he's black. Once they see his face on everything, they'll know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, but, I mean, that's the point. It's just like, because of that market, and it didn't even have, I mean, because of that market, I mean, that sounds ridiculous. I mean, we're in Chicago. I mean, if there was if Evander Kane playing on the Blackhawks, it should be the same thing.
Yeah, well, the whole point being that the difference being is you don't, with Rocky Wirtz owning the Blackhawks now, hockey doesn't really need to be sold the way it does have to be sold in other markets. People were willing to come back the minute the games went on TV, the minute that they saw, you know, some sort of a contract between ownership and fans where, look, you know, we're going to make the team more available to you, and then the fans came back. You know, having all that happen at the exact moment where you have two young superstars join the league and the team doesn't hurt matters any. You know, it might have sped the process, but I think that would have happened either way. Whereas in Atlanta, you don't have Atlanta, you know, it's not like you can, what are you going to put up on the scoreboard before the game for your film montage, like clips of Jim Craig stopping pucks? You know, there's no hockey tradition in Atlanta. So you have to find some other way to sell the team.
Well, I mean, that's another one of the NHL's weaknesses, is that team in Atlanta is pretty damn exciting. I mean, you know, on any given night, I mean, you have, I mean, Kovalchuk, in any other market, Kovalchuk would be a superstar.
Oh yeah, Kovalchuk's a hell of a player, and he's mired in Atlanta. And I, you know, from all indications, he really doesn't want to leave.
You know, and there's other guys on that team. I mean, Slava Kozlov is still a damn good player. You know, and you have Colby Armstrong. That's a guy who does have a little bit of character. You could do something with him, marketing wise.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they have guys, and they are in
the defenseman they took in the first round last year.
But at what point do you just say, you know what, people in Atlanta, they don't want to watch hockey. You know what, it's a distinct possibility. I mean, Atlanta's already had a team come and go. This isn't a new development.
I don't disagree with you at all. I don't think that they should have a franchise. It should be somewhere else, or it should be abolished. You know,
well,
I think the NHL
would
be a lot better if they only had 28 teams. But, I mean, it is what it is. So what you have to do is, okay, the people in Atlanta don't care about the Atlanta Thrashers, but you know what? You have 29 other cities that the Atlanta Thrashers are going to. So you have to do something. It's your responsibility as a league. It's your responsibility as Gary Bettman and Bill Daly to make the Thrashers mean something. And yeah, if you happen to come across a Thrashers game, you know, in the Phillips Center or Phillips Arena, and there's nobody there, yeah, it looks bad. But you know what? As the NHL, don't nationally televise any games at the Phillips Arena, and just focus on Kovalchuk. Put their games on in buildings. You know, if Atlanta comes through Chicago, if Atlanta's at Madison Square Garden, you have to. It's got to be strategic in the way you market these guys, and I mean, Kovalchuk should be a bigger name than he is, because he's just a shade under Ovechkin of what Ovechkin is. He's not as charismatic, but he's that kind of player, and he's that kind of special, and he's fun to watch. And the fact that he doesn't mean more in this league is criminal. And and that's one thing that you could say to the NHL and Gary Bettman, like, you're doing a bad job, because when you have that kind of guy, yeah, it sucks that he's stuck in that market. It sucks that he's not in Philadelphia or Boston or wherever. But, you know, he's there, and you've got to work with it, because, I mean, people should be getting excited about the Atlanta Thrashers coming into their town, because they're going to see one of the best players in the world, one of the best players that there's ever been, you know, and nobody cares. And it hurts your league, and it hurts the other franchises that the NHL is not doing more with those guys.
I'll tell you, my wife and I are actually going to be going down to Atlanta in a few weeks for a family thing on her side. But I was trying to, like, coerce her into going to a Thrashers game while we were there, and the Penguins are actually in town. And I went on their website, and I could not believe the seats I could get for the Pittsburgh Penguins in Atlanta. And, you know, right there, like, okay, if you can get these kind of seats when you've got the Stanley Cup champs coming in to go up against a player like Kovalchuk, that's just insane. That should never be.
No.
And
again, I mean, that's partly the market, and it's also the fact that, you know, the marketing of, you know, it shouldn't solely, I mean, if the NHL knows they have bad ownership or ownership that's disenchanted and isn't working as hard as they should be to, you know, develop in, you know, generate interest and put these guys out there front and center, it's incumbent upon the league that they do it. And I think that's the biggest thing that the NHL has that I complain about, is that they just don't do enough with what they have. And you have this, you have NBC, which is, you know, which is fine, and you're lucky enough to be on it. You know, you shouldn't complain about it. You know, so NBC is like a different story. But Versus is something that, yeah, not a lot of people get there, but the people that do are your hardcore hockey fans and the people that will get interested when the Atlanta Thrashers come to town if you tell them that they should be. And the NHL doesn't do enough of that.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you.
How will it change now that the NHL has cut their deal with the Blog U N Network?
You know what I should say? You know, before that, let me thank our sponsors here really quick. And of course, what a great host I am. An hour into the show, and now I'm gonna talk about the sponsors. Tonight's show is brought to you by Pretty Girls Massage Spa. Yeah, 4906 West Irving Park Road in Chicago. The phone number to call is 773-545-9588. Again, 773-545-9588. Appointments and walk-ins are welcome. Please do not go in there and expect something that isn't implied there. It is a massage place. I don't want to hear any more complaints. Pretty Girls Massage.
What? How many guys have been complaining that they walked in there looking for happy endings?
All of them.
Well, that's a problem. You don't ask for a happy ending. You ask for a superstar.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Ask for a superstar.
Or if you're really adventurous, just ask for a superstar. I think he works Wednesday nights. Is that it?
Tuesday night. No. Tuesday night. Yeah.
That's why he's not here. Yeah, he's not here tonight. He's down a Pretty Girl Massage. And where is that on Irving Park Road?
4906 West Irving Park Road, one block west of Cicero.
Pretty Girl Massage. Right by Six Corners. Very convenient.
Yeah. And also, yeah, we like to thank what's that?
I was going to say, lots of sins on Irving Park Road, too, you know.
Irving Park Road is a popular road.
Don't interrupt the libraries, man.
All right.
And we'd also like to thank Chicago's Pizza and Pasta with 5 locations in Chicago, including, where are they here? I should be better prepared. 3114 North Lincoln, 3006 North Sheffield, 1919 West Montrose, 3413 North Clark, and also at 4520 West Irving Park Road. It is Chicago's Pizza and Pasta. You can check them out online at chicagos-pizza.com for the nearest one near you. Get some maps. And we also, we can't go without saying that you have to get the gourmet sandwiches. Not in all one night, you know. But, I mean, that's actually what I do. Like, when I order out, I order like a week's worth of food, you know, just because I'm lazy, I don't want to deal with it every night, so I buy like a week's worth of food, you know, that's what the refrigerator's for, and like I'll eat pizza one night, I'll eat the Caesar wrap the next, a panini maybe for lunch the next day, and then I'll have the gourmet sandwich at the end. But also try their original stuffed pizza, it is great, it is chicagos-pizza.com, and I'd like to play something right now for you guys.
Nothing as good as the Hockey Night thong, incidentally, which is the highest quality cotton. Very comfortable. Chris Block endorses it. Chris Block, he said he's never felt fresher after flossing his ass than with a Hockey Night thong.
Chris Block has said if he didn't have to wash it, he'd never take it off.
That is correct. In fact, he said that he loves it so much he actually turns it inside out to get an extra day's wear out of it. Right now he's like punching his iPod.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's Hockey Night tonight.
That's what you got, HockeyNight.com with us here tonight, owners and proprietors and hosts of the Puckcast, the CT and the Forklift are with us. And,
yeah, we should get sponsors, man.
Nothing horrifies me more than being reminded what my voice actually sounds like.
Yeah, you know, I never actually listened to our podcast. I usually listen to this one on my way into work on Wednesday morning. Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. I figure whatever we bring up on Monday gets rehashed on Tuesday, so it's actually pretty handy. So I don't have to listen to
my own. And we rehash it the following Monday. It's great.
Yeah, you know, my own monotone drawing that I've got. But we don't have sponsors at all. And this guy's got a pizza place and a massage parlor, so he's obviously mobbed up. So
That was my biggest like fear when I had this idea to do this. And I have ideas to do things, and they get put on the back burner, or something happens, and everything goes horribly wrong. I have great ideas, but the execution of which are just awful in my personal life and on the radio. And, my biggest fear was that I'd have to listen to the sound of my own voice, and I don't like the sound of my own voice, and most people don't. But, like,
well,
I really dislike
mine.
Yeah. And, but, yeah, like, I got over it pretty quick. But, yeah, it was the first few shows that we did, and I made a point to go back and listen to them, you know, 2 and 3 times to sort of pick up on things that I was doing and maybe, hopefully, I mean, we're 14 or 15 weeks in now. I'm still doing them. But like, you know, try to, like, cut some of the things out that I noticed. So I got over it rather quickly. But, yeah, it's horrifying. And, you know, it goes back to when I was a kid. Like, I don't know if you ever did this. Like I had, like, a cassette recorder. And I think for whatever reason, maybe, because I went through a period in my life where I thought I was going to be, like, I don't know, at the time, I probably thought I was going to be Eddie Vedder or something like that. Now I'd, like, just be, the, you know, Bob Dylan. But I just thought it would be a good idea to record my voice. And I listened back to it. And that was, like, the end of my speaking career. I was so mortified. I go, I sound like that? And, but it's weird. Like, when I first started listening to the show back, you know, sort of taking notes and everything, I had the same sort of thing. I'm like, oh, I sound like that? But now that I hear the show, now I don't know. It's weird. Like, now I do hear what I hear on the radio, which I don't know what that is, but.
Oh, that's why we have guests, so we don't have to listen to ourselves.
Yeah, and actually we were kind of upset when you started your podcast because we felt really it was our idea to have a podcast and have Chris Block on it all the time. I mean,
I know.
That was our concept.
You could still have Chris Block on. I'm not doing anything. But, yeah, I mean, it was one of those things, like, you know, that I had the idea for it, and I mean, because – like, there have been other people that have tried doing, you know, podcasts, and they were bad, too. But, when you guys started, it was like, okay, well, you know, I don't think the market's there for it to, you know, be any more than just what you guys were doing. And, you know, now it's like...
I don't think we have a market. It's, you know, usually our our downloads each week tend to pretty much coincide with the readership of the blog of whoever our guest is. So, you know, if we have somebody on who, like when we had on Down Goes Brown and Pension Plan Puppets together, we had 500 downloads in 1 week.
Yeah.
And but, you know, for the most part, we're somewhere between 100 and 150 a week. And again, I don't give any credit to me. It's CT and it's whoever.
It's all
the
to me, yeah. Really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's the clever, witty one. Yeah.
He is. Well, look, man, when you're 4'10", you got to be quick with the wits.
That's right. Well, you know, and I'm on with forklift, so everything is relative.
Yeah, I do kind of make it easy for anyone to be funny, or at least seem funny. True story, the superstar is actually Pierre Maguire. Holy shit, I forgot all about that one. That's pretty funny. But yeah, we had talked about doing a podcast. It was one of those things I kind of floated by when we first started the site. And, you know, both CT and I were like, yeah, maybe, who knows. And then Andy Dolan of DiCeppio and Bad Kermit from Higher Jim Essien did a couple. And that's when we got started on it. And yeah, those guys, they had the greatest podcast in the history of podcasting, I will dare say, because they had a 90-minute podcast where they actually went through the list last winter of every free agent in Major League Baseball and tried to guess where they would go. And it was like the audio equivalent of the Bataan Death March. The most horrendous. And then at the end of it, they teased that Paul Sullivan was going to be their guest the following week. And in the meantime, they still have never had Sullivan on.
See, that's the thing that when I had the idea, it was literally driving down the road. And, you know, because I had the idea before, and then it was like, you know, to me, it just didn't seem viable. And, like, I just thought, like, nah, I don't have the time. And, like, I'm not a host. Like, I've been on, like, even before you guys, like, I've been a guest in you know, different sort of sports and, you know, entertainment venues. Like, I've done this before. But, like, the thought of me having to manage and, you know, dictate flow and interview people is, like, there's no way I could do that. I mean, I'm not even.
We don't do that.
Well, I know. I still don't do it. But, you know, but that, I mean, if that was, like, my thing, I was like, I can't do that. I'm not interesting enough to do this. So, but then I was just driving down the road one day, and I'm like, you know what? We got the new the new website and the conversion and everything. And like, I asked, you know, I just had this idea. I'm like, I should do radio and, you know, and have it be on there. And people come to the site. I go, that would be a different way. Because I'm thinking, like, of all of these different ways, like, not only can I do what I do, which of course I can't even do anymore because I'm so busy. But, you know, but I can, just a way to get more people to come to the site. And like, I'm thinking, like at the time I'm thinking like I want to help out this network, you know, they're building something that was exactly what I wanted. It's not going to cost me anything. The advertising dollars is so minuscule, even for like, if you have a good site, you know, that gets a lot of people, it's really nothing. I mean, it's something. Maybe go out and buy a sandwich or something. But, you know, I mean, it's nothing to work extra hard.
At Chicago's Pizza.
Yeah.
One of their gourmet sandwiches.
Yeah. But reasonably.
I'm eating one right now.
is there chicken parm
any
good?
I'm thinking of all. Go ahead.
Is there chicken parm any good? Because I hate having to go all the way to Brooklyn to get a decent chicken parm sandwich.
They do have chicken. You know what? There's Ironworks this year has a chicken parm sandwich. It's $12, but I had it on Saturday night, and it was pretty damn good.
Actually, you want to know what's a solid fucking effort? Is you go to the smokehouse on the 100 level, and they've got a barbecued short rib sandwich, and you get that with mustard sauce, and that is really good. And they give you sweet potato fries. Yeah, they give you sweet potato fries. The whole shoot match is really good. It's like $13, you know. Unfortunately, that's the problem. Is once you're inside the warm caress of the United Center, you pretty much get fisted for a bag of peanuts. So you got.
I'd say for $13, the sandwich better come with a happy ending.
Well, yeah, I think this is part of Block Synergies. He's going to merge Chicago's Pizza and Pretty Girls Massage, so you can get that sandwich and the happy ending all in one shot.
That's my idea.
That's what all this is building towards.
Yes, I'm gonna open up a pizza massage parlor with the ATM that spits out dollars. That's my big plan.
Yeah.
And again, since I'm on the radio right now, and I just told everybody my plan, somebody else. By the time I get in the car and drive down the street, it's gonna be up.
Well, I thought Superstar was your R&D department on that.
Speaking of which, is there any, I don't know, is there any news on the site? Because you were kind of joking about how, you know, people are still clicking on Third Man In every morning to see if there's anything there. And I am one of those pathetic bastards who every morning opens up the Third Man In with I don't know, this glimmer of hope that there's going to be, you know, something on it.
I have that hope, too. You know what, if I am exceedingly full right now, you know, my schedule, but if I had the time right now, I would be putting it all into finding a new place to be, you know, or deciding, like, to do this differently. I will say this, and this just happened today. I don't even know how to pronounce it. I joined I am now going to be blogging, I guess that's what they call it, about the Blackhawks on fadoo.ca, FADOO.ca. I think probably should be up right now is actually my column that actually appeared in The Committed Indian last night. Didn't run that one by Sam, but I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
That's right.
Just, yeah.
Tomorrow Sam's running our 2009-10 season in review.
Oh.
So.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I got an email from him today.
Oh.
Yeah, you heard some fucker actually passed a bad 20 to him?
Yeah, I
read
saw
that.
Yeah.
That's
real
pretty
nice.
Shitty, man. You know, if you're going to pass a bad 20, well, first of all, I don't condone passing bad money anyway, but if you were going to, I would say some large faceless corporation like, you know, McDonald's.
I read that. I feel bad for him because now, like, he's, I mean, it's just human nature. He's going to stand there and he's looking at everybody that, you know, comes up to him tomorrow night, and he's going to be thinking, like, is this the person? You know,
yeah.
That sucks.
It does.
Yeah, I mean,
and, yeah, that's, like I said, that's a shitty thing to do. I mean, the guy's out there and, you know, it's obvious from just taking one look at the Committed Indian, this is hardly a conglomerate. I mean, it's this guy who's putting this thing out and using it, and that's paying his rent, so... You know, how do you fuck a guy like that? To me, that's, you know.
I have one good authority that it was Dave Kaplan that passed him the 20.
Yeah. Sam, if you're listening tomorrow and you see any orange guys pass you a 20, kick him in the nads. It's Dave Kaplan. But that's our Dave Kaplan. Actually, the one thing I did want to bring up, you know, last week we had the Kylies on. And we did take a shot or two at Dave Kaplan, and you know, I couldn't help but notice that the Kylies never put a link up to the podcast on their site, which leads me to believe that you know, I mean, Mike did explain that Mark was busy. Mark usually takes care of like the HTML type things, but you know, I also have in the back of my mind, I don't know that maybe, because that's Teddy Greenstein runs that site, right? Chicago Now.
I have no idea.
I don't know. But
are you sure it's not Jimmy Greenfield or whatever the hell his name is?
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Greenfield. I don't know. Some green dude. Some green dude who has an orange dude working for him. And, yeah, because we took our shots at Kaplan and we mentioned the whole hire Jim Essien debacle, I wonder if they told him, you know, don't link to that podcast. And I wonder if I know Mike would love to come on again because he obviously had a hell of a time and told a couple of really cool stories, but I wonder if the Chicago Now people will kind of squash that if he wants to come back on. I don't know. I haven't asked him about it, so I can't presume to put words in Mike Kiley's mouth. But
I'd love to have him on too, or maybe jump on the next time you guys have him on, because I just want to talk to him about, I think, a great discussion, and you guys. I think I come at it at a kind of contrasting way, at a different kind of an angle than he does as far as this whole blog issue, and I do think it's very important because it's it's something that John McDonough is missing. And I said some bad things about John McDonough myself last week. But I had my head on a swivel at the United Center this week. I do think he's a sharp guy, and I watch everything he does like a hawk because I'm very interested in how he's going to go about doing this, the process of making the Blackhawks mean something, and they sort of do now, but if he were to tell you, and he would, I mean he would tell you that they're not even a quarter of the way that he wants to go, so. Like I just find it so fascinating, and this is one where I just think he's missing the boat, and it's not something that would benefit me. It absolutely wouldn't benefit me, but it's we don't have time to get into it now. But I would like to talk to Mike and Mark Hiley about that because I think it's interesting that he's totally it's short-sighted on his part that he's not doing more with people who are covering his team. And, we'll save that for another day. But I just think he's really missing the boat.
I do think that there are some like, more larger national blogs. Like, I think Hockey Buzz, the guy who writes the Hawks for Hockey Buzz, I know it used to be Al Simaglia, and I think Simaglia was actually fully credentialed. And I think whoever's covering the Hawks for Hockey Buzz now is fully credentialed, things like that. But, yeah, when it gets down to the, the local, and I mean, us and Fifth Feather are the two independents that probably have the largest readership. I mean, because Second City Hockey probably gets more readership than anybody, but, that's SB Nation and... I honestly think that if James Myrtle picked up the phone, Killian could sit in the press box tomorrow night. I'm fairly certain he can make that happen if he wanted to. But and for us personally, I've said this a million times, it doesn't really matter to me and CT. I'm speaking for you, CT, but I'm sure we agree on this that neither of us are
not
particularly. Yeah, it doesn't really matter to us whether we get credential or not. It's not like we're going to go to every single Hawks game and sit in the press box and hustle down to the locker room to get some statement after the game because that's really not what we do.
So out of curiosity, where is Al Simaglia now? Because I know he was at ESPN Chicago
He actually sent me an email. I feel really bad because I mean to put up a link. He sent me something. Hang on, let me... Now you gotta make me read my email while I'm talking. He actually is someplace else. He's no longer with ESPN, but he is with another blog collective. He's covering the Blackhawks, and I actually at some point we would like to have him on again, that's for another day. But yeah,
are we
going to
get Jesse Rogers?
We can't even get Sam Fels. Actually, we got somebody. Now, Block, I don't know how many emails do you get from people that are trying to tell you about great sites that they have, and what it actually is just basically them trying to get you to put up free advertising.
You see those right away. Like, I've seen so many of them that, I pick them out and I don't even open them. I know what they are and I delete them. It's like those other emails that I get a lot are like, I've remodeled your website. It's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
You just delete it. Well, I probably shouldn't delete them. I don't know. I probably get... 5 a week or something.
Oh, okay. Simaglia is on hockeyindependent.com.
Okay.
So, I did go through my emails while I was talking to you guys. Sorry about that.
Well, he said on your show, I recall him saying on your show that his was back when Jim DeMaria was still the PR guy or had that, that fell under his jurisdiction. And he just applied, and he got it. Like, he just happened to be lucky enough that on that particular day, Jim DiMaria was just like, yeah, we need some people in the press box. And he got, right. You know, he got in, he went in there, he minded his own business. He, you know, he didn't say this, but, you know, he just sort of went in, he did his job, you know, no complaints, no problems, and they just kept credentialing him. That's basically, if I recall what he said, that's basically how he ended up in there. I would be surprised if, I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name, John Jackal, is that still the guy who does it at the Hockey Buzz? I don't read that very often. No offense to him, I just don't get that far. But
I know. Unfortunately, with this huge proliferation of Blackhawks blogs, I would need to spend my entire day just reading Blackhawks blogs, and you know, if somebody wants to pay me a John Jackal, that's the guy.
Yeah.
And but yeah, that's too damn much money to, you know, they don't pay me to do that, so I can't.
Yeah, but like I mean, he's good. I mean, what I've read of him, I mean, I don't agree with everything he says, but I don't agree with, you know, everything anybody says. So.
Oh no.
But
well,
I mean,
if we all agreed, there wouldn't be, you know, we'd only need one blog. We'd just take turns writing it.
But I mean, you know, I mean, there's good stuff out there. I think that the problem with all the new blogs coming up, and there's going to be a ton more by the end of the year, is just that. You know, whatever's new, and you know, they sort of. I mean, the only reason why you're gonna know that they're around and see them is because they do something that catches somebody's eye, or they work really, really hard to you know, whore their blog out and you know get it out there. But I mean, they'll do something that is worth going there and checking out. So then you'll keep going back there, like she does to me, and you know, hope that there's something you know equivalent. You know, in quality, and you just keep going back there, keep going back there. Well, what happens is people are going to get, you know, it dilutes what is good. And I think that's sort of the thing that I look at, and I kind of be frustrated, is that because of how many there are, you might have something that's really, really good quality, and just not many people are going to see it just because there's too many. And you know, some of them are good, some of them aren't. And like you said, I mean, whether you do it at work, whether you do it first thing in the morning when you get home, before you go to bed, there's just only so many sites you can click on, and there's only so many of them are going to be Blackhawks. You know, people check the news. They go to their favorite band's website. They you know they check the quirky news and whatever else that they're doing. Porn. I mean, there's only so much time for Blackhawks blog. Oh yeah. All right. So before you guys go, because we got 2 minutes left here in the stream, and we probably shouldn't go over an hour and a half. And I don't even know if Blog Talk will allow me. I'd like to. I want to grab your informal poll, Forklift.
Okay.
And CT, and I want to know how much longer, in your opinion, will Cristobal Huey be the number one goaltender?
I would say at least until after the circus trip. I actually think the circus trip he might find himself because he'll be away from the United Center and he might actually, the sphincter might loosen up a little bit.
Okay, CT?
I think unless they make a move for the trade deadline, he's going the whole year. There's nothing behind him that I can see. So
yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Unless
they're
going on a system with a big move, then he's in for the year.
I agree. I mean, last night, he didn't do himself any favors, but those goals weren't all his fault, and
no.
I mean, the Hawks were not helping him out whatsoever. I did say to my friend who was with me last night, I thought it was a huge mistake not to put him back in after that first period. When they got that goal, when John Penn scored that goal, I thought that was the perfect time to put Huey back in there. The team was going to be jump-started. I mean, if they didn't come out wanting to play better in front of whoever that goalie was, I mean, then the season's lost. I mean, that was such an embarrassing start on home ice against a team that you, once you got going, you pretty much ran over in the playoffs last year. And I mean, it's just... it was such a huge mistake, I think, on Quenneville's part, because that team was going to play better. And it was, you know, to your benefit as a coach, as a franchise, with this guy in Hue A, who there's all these questions, and he needs a little bit of a confidence boost. And, like, set aside that he's the better goalie. Antti Niemi is horrible. And that goal that he put in last night was
the best thing that happened to Hue A last night was that fifth goal, that shitty little blue line wrister floater that got by Niemi, because I'm sure if that goal doesn't go in, you know, then they come back and they win the game and everybody's all Niemi, Niemi, Niemi. But you, every time you see a replay of that goal, you go, ugh.
Yeah.
I can't start this guy.
Well, tomorrow night's just going to be a meathead orgy at the United Center because Javi Bolin's in town.
Oh,
this is an enormous game. I mean, it's huge for Hue A. And Javi Bolin did not start. He didn't play last night. No, Delorier played last night in Nashville. And,
yeah,
they're making sure
Javi's ready to go tonight or tomorrow night.
Yeah, he's coming in here. He's going to be jacked. And you know, like we saw when he was here, even when the Blackhawks were bad, when he was interested in being good, most nights he was good. And I mean, this is an enormous game. And it's funny because the Blackhawks today sent out to people on their email list, put tickets in the 100 and 200 level at 50% off for tomorrow night's game. For people that got the text message and got the password, they could go on and get tickets for half price in the 100 and 200 level. That's how bad they're hurting right now for, you know, these weeknight games. And
I know. And tomorrow night is in one of the 9-game packages.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in fact, well, I have a 9-game package, and I'll be there tomorrow night.
Yeah. Well, it's just, like, to me, this is, like, another thing where it's incumbent upon the team to pick out certain games and tell people that this is enormous. Like, you don't have
yeah.
I mean, you're gonna hype opening night, and yeah, it's a playoff rematch right at the top of the season. It's still, you know, fresh on people's minds. I don't think that it really needs – the Edmonton game is the one that the Blackhawks should have been hyping the crap out of. They probably don't want to because of the Javi Bolin factor,
mm-hmm.
you know, like thinking that it takes attention away from their guy and it's hyping the other team. But still, I mean, it's about filling your building. It's about putting the asses in the seats and getting people drunk and just getting them to throw money on the ground. I mean, you hype that game. I think tomorrow night – you know, and really, I mean, in the drama that is, you know, night to night, you know, in the NHL, tomorrow night's the game. You know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, this should be the game that everybody's juiced about. And like, I was talking to people last night at the United Center, and they just forgot because it's not your responsibility as a fan. The hardcore fans
right.
are going to go out there and they're going to know everything. But as a fan, it's not your responsibility to keep up on your team. It's the organization's responsibility to drill it into you. Whatever's important, like being a fan should be simple. It should be everything in your face. You take what you want, and you enjoy those things. And like tomorrow night, it's gonna be such a great game. The drama, the event that is tomorrow night, and the Blackhawks had to put tickets 50% off, you know, for that game.
And even in the locker rooms, I guarantee you two things. First of all, I guarantee you in the Edmonton locker room, there's going to be $10,000 sitting on that table. And whoever gets the game winner for Edmonton gets that 10 grand, courtesy of Nikolai Javi Bolin. And I guarantee you that in the Blackhawks locker room, they've probably got a kitty going or something going for whoever gets the first goal on Javi Bolin. Because that's what happens in NHL locker rooms. When guys play against their old team, they put money on the table for whoever gets the game winner against the old team. And so believe me, the players are geared up for it. One of the things that I have brought up a couple times when I was at the Blackhawks convention this year was I went to one of the little forum things they had, which they had four defensemen. It was Keith and Seabrook, it was Campbell and Yarmolson. And everybody kept bringing up Detroit, bringing up Detroit, bringing up Detroit. Now, which Red Wing would you really love to drill? And they were all kind of indifferent. And then they said, who would you love to drill other than a Red Wing? And each guy had a Canuck that they just want. So to me, I'm thinking, okay, it doesn't matter what the fans are thinking. The players all have the Vancouver game circled on their schedule. They want Vancouver. They've got scores to settle with Vancouver. That's going to be a great game. That's going to be a hell of a lot more fun. I mean, it's a big game anyway, you know, in the division and everything else. But from a personal standpoint of the guys in that locker room, they really want the Canucks. And, you know, ownership should understand that. Ownership should hype that up.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's like it's opening night, and then, yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple, self-explanatory. Like, people can easily get the significance of that Calgary game, hype the Edmonton one. You know, you got Dallas on the weekend. It's a Saturday night game. You don't have to do anything with that. The Blackhawks are good.
Yeah.
It's Saturday night at the United Center. That's simple. There's no marketing and promotion going behind that. That sells itself.
Right.
And then the next one after that, yeah, is that Wednesday night enormous game against the Vancouver Canucks. And I don't know. They should hire us. That's what they should do.
But we're bloggers. They don't believe we exist.
I know they listen to this show, so maybe they will.
That's right.
They're gonna be on the phone.
Listen, if you're listening, move me up on the season ticket list, man. I'm in the second to last row at 314.
And no more fucking bachelor parties.
Yeah, no more of these fucking. Yeah, that's the one thing I wanted to bring up, man. The United Center, I mean, I'm a Cub fan who hates 99% of Cub fans, and I hope that doesn't happen to me with the Blackhawks, too, because, man, what a fucking Chad fest the other night. I mean, aside from the tools we had in front of us, I just felt like everywhere I went, it was all fucking pop collars and hair gel.
If you congregate around those new Bruin views, I mean, that's – but, that, again, I've been telling people this, people that ask me. I love that idea because it does get those people sort of out of the section and over there where, you know, you can sort of just mill around. And if that's what you're there for, you're just there to, you know, chat up women or whatever you're there to do, you're doing it over there and not bothering.
That is true. That's the one thing I do like about – at Wrigley Field, you have the bleachers. The bleachers are the jag-off section. So, you know, if you stay out of the bleachers – pretty much wherever you sit, people are paying attention to the ball game. And, you know, we had, like I said, we had this whole row in front of us that seemed a lot more interested in yelling at some dude wearing a Peter Forsberg jersey than anything going on the ice. I mean, the game was pretty dry up until the skills competition at the end. But still, you know, you got a fucking hockey game going on in front of you. You paid money to sit there and watch a hockey game. Why are you yelling at some guy who happens to be wearing the same jersey as the guys down on the ice playing against the Blackhawks? That, to me, is inane.
But. All right. Well, then on that note, we'll say goodnight to you guys.
All right. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, no problem. And it's talkshoe.com if you want to listen to it live. You got to register because, unfortunately, Block went on the show one night and just blurted out obscenities every other minute. And now you're for mature audiences only.
Why people have to log in?
Yeah, you have to log in. Yeah, because I don't always get in there at 9 o'clock, but when you go to the main page at you know, right around 9, your logo or the old logo that you had is on there, and it'll say like live now, and it'll tell you like how many, I think it says callers. It says, you know, 9.
Well, we have
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you but
I
if you
there's
click
callers
on it.
And guests.
Yes, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I actually,
who cares?
That's actually mine to change because – I'm sorry. I'll let you finish, and then I'll explain.
Oh, but if you go to – if you click on it right from the – right from TalkShoe.com's front page, it'll go to you must be 18 or over to listen to this program. You know, please log in. And, you know, I mean, all anybody has to do is say that they're 45 and, you know, they can listen.
Right.
But, I mean, you have to sign up on TalkShoe and have, like, you know, an account, basically. You don't have to be anybody could do it. But, yeah, you have to do that before you can listen live.
Yeah, one time somebody was on the chat and they were complaining about the language. I says, well, if you don't like the language, log out. You know, don't listen. And they said, look, you know, if I had known it was going to be like this, I would never come here in the first place. And which, to me, okay, that's a valid point. So, actually, I changed it to have the explicit language thing.
Oh.
Which is why it has a little EL. That was actually, that's actually
that,
my
that,
doing.
No, forklift is protecting, you know, our nation's children.
Yeah, so instead of listening to us swear a few times, they can go to RedTube and watch some porn.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks again, Chris. It was
yeah.
It was nice of you to have us on, and
thanks,
Superstar,
for you know having us.
Yeah.
Superstar, would you like to have the guys from Hockey Night back on again?
Absolutely.
All right. He agrees. So it's good.
Yeah,
book.
That's only because you don't have a card of him saying no fucking way. All right.
Sure, we'll get that. All right, guys. And I'll be back next Tuesday night, October 20th, 8 o'clock, here on blogtalkradio.com/The Third Man In. And until next time, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.